Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. Just delighted to meet you again. Here, the sun is shining. Thank heavens. We've had like 4 or 5 days of rain, remnants from Eduardo, and I hope that you are nice and dry, snug as a bug in a rug someplace, and enjoying this holiday weekend. We mentioned that what we're going to be talking about, or rather the subject matter, is the higher mind and mission. But I thought it might be a good idea to perhaps talk about how in the world did this lady called Carolyn Evers ever become involved with reading the Akashic Records? What are they and where are they? And some people are aware of the fact that my son died in an automobile accident many years ago. And I think before that time, I probably wouldn't even have been considering doing the sort of things that I am doing right now. Got involved in all of this because as a mother who wondered where her 16-year-old son was, I searched for him. I read. You might say it was something that had become obsessive with me. I just wanted to make sure that he was safe. I had been brought up in a conventional religion, was told that he was happy and was with God, but the mother in me just wanted to know that he was safe. So there was a tremendous, incredible journey that I took until I finally met him, spoke to him, and started working with him. And that whole story is on the website, yoursonlives.com. And for anybody who has lost a child or a loved one, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, I think that story would be a remarkable story to read, because to me it was proof that we live, we might pass over to the next dimension. We don't see our loved ones, but they're there. Not only are they there, but they have a close connection with us. So I realized with that I could speak to people on the other side. And then he held open what I would call a doorway so that I started speaking to other people, writing books. It was just amazing, the individuals who presented themselves with a story. And so we were talking to people of spiritual hierarchy, people you know and love, like Archangel Michael and Kuan Yin and Jesus and Pope John Paul. And so the books were piling up. The information was incredible. And then I realized as this was moving along, because my son had told me this was our mission. We had chosen to do this before he came. Not only that, but we had done it many lifetimes together. And so it became something quite comfortable to me. It wasn't anything strange. After all, I was talking to my son. He was introducing me to these different people on the other side. So there was no reason to be concerned, to be alarmed, to be afraid, to think that something was wrong. It was just a very natural thing. And so I started doing readings for people who were interested in talking to their loved ones or hearing something from their loved ones on the other side. What in the world were they doing now? And so this was very interesting because I was starting to get a picture of, you know, they, people just don't sit on clouds playing harps. They're very involved in activity. And so as one thing led to another, I realized that I was searching further and further out for information. And that is when a dear friend told me I would be reading Akashic Records, and I said, nah, that's not for me, don't want to be doing that. But the idea stuck. My golly, if I could do that, what kind of information would I get? And so I always go into a meditative state and pray before I do any kind of work like this. And I did that, and my destination was the Akashic Records, wherever they might be. And so there was a part of my mind that journeyed. And I have to say, it took a very long, well, it seemed to me that it took a long time to get there, because I was moving and moving and moving. And when I finally got to my destination, I recognized I was in my spirit body. I could see the edges of it, and it looked white, like light. The edges were irregular. I could only see in front of me. I couldn't see on the sides or in back of me, but it was like a very soft fabric. And when I met the angels who held the final universal records, I realized then I was in the realm of the cherubim, who are that band right beneath Source. And our edges touched one another in greeting. It was like there was a quivering sense of greeting between the two of us, and it was quite remarkable. And so that very first reading that I had done had taken me a long time getting there, and after the reading, I needed to bring my mind back to my body. And I'm thinking, it's taken so long, and I'm thinking to myself, my golly, can we get lost doing this? And so I finally came back into the physical with all of this incredible information that I had received through the help and the assistance of the cherubim. And each time that I have gone there, the journey had gotten shorter, so it had become a little bit easier to get there. And so one of the first things that I did was, what is an Akashic record? And so very simply, it's the story of your soul as it traveled through its experiences, both joyful and painful, and all the states in between. And we're going to talk about how this information is deposited and where it's deposited. But the advantage of using this information is that we can find answers to our current problems and our commitments, or discover tools to help create the desired change in your life. And so that's why I believe reading Akasha is interesting and helpful. So first of all, this was information that came from a reading, and they started with the Earth records, because we're living here. They're starting with that location, and they tell us that each individual soul collects their experiences in what some would call the subtle body. So in a sense, we are carrying our record as we go about our everyday activities. And at the point of transition, when we go to the other side, those records then go to are transferred to the next place. And so our records hold all the emotions that were used in the gathering of our experiences here. And so it is those very emotions that we have carried over all of these past lifetimes that sometimes get stuck in our etheric body. We haven't purged them. And if they're negative emotions, which these are the ones that usually do get stuck there, each time we come back into the physical, we pick those up to rework them, to dissipate them, to clear them. And many people right now are going through a period of time in their lives when they must clear all of this past negative challenges that they've accumulated, because if you don't, it then comes forth in our body as some sort of a disease. And a lot of that information is in Chaos Before Creation, and it explains the different negative emotions that have not been cleared, the kinds of diseases that we can experience, and how to clear those. So that's another story in itself. We're talking about the Akashic Records, and so the next stop that the cherubim has told us is that there's also a set of records for our solar system. And this would be for each solar system, but we're talking about Earth now because we live here on Earth. And all of the information about this planetary system is in the solar system's Akashic information, except there it doesn't have human emotion. And they explain that these records appear to have strings to them, and those strings connect to other records that are held within other solar systems and beyond. And so part of the reason for this is it's like a library, in the sense that people, souls who wish to create, they can go to these libraries and search for information that they're looking for that had to do with Earth's particular solar system, how it was created, the things that go on in it. And so that's what would be in a solar system records. And then the next step would be records for our galaxy. And there's a band of records in the galaxy. And so it would not only hold the intent of the creators. In other words, when the creators created this galaxy, what did they intend for it? But also, along with that, the results of that intent. So that they performed certain experiments, tried to bring forth, manifest certain conditions. And so those records hold all the successes plus what would be considered failures, things that didn't work. And so there is a band of magnetic energy where this information is recorded. And so creators who wanted to understand how to work with a denser fabric of gases and solids would go to this group of records in the galaxy. And like I said, it's like a library. They can go and research the experiments that have failed and obtain knowledge so that when they were creating, they had some information to use. Then the cherubim tell us that there's also records for the Galactic Command. And this is records where the different cultures, different planet inhabitants of the different planets in this galaxy, they have interaction with each other. And they say this is a very busy place, as what is recorded here are the results of every emotion that connects to the force of love and its results, and the forces of control and domination that some might consider the dark forces. So interactions between the light and the dark, and the movements of all the planets in this galaxy, that would go into the Galactic Command records. Now that would be for this galaxy. Then there's another set of records that is the reports of all the commanders of all the galaxies, and that they have ruled over the operations of galactic control. And so it says that these commanders have changed over the eons of creation, though their records have always remained. And so there, the souls are judged on their intent, But on this level of the Galactic Command, they are also judged on their results. So the result is very important. I've seen in some of past readings that I have done for people that Source looks upon our intent. The intent is more important than what the actual result was. But in the Galactic Command, the result is just as important. And then the last place that the angels, the cherubim, talk about is the universal records. And they say that this is the final deposit. And that they have a great significance as this is the sum total of creation in every phase of the in-breath and the out-breath of the Source's desires, plans, goals, and being. And so the cherubim, as I said, is the second layer below Source, and this is the first place where Source receives any information on any of the records, because it is the cherubim that actually hold this, compact it in a certain way, and turn it over to Source when Source wants to review certain records. Fascinating. Source is aware of everything that goes on from many avenues that Source has. But I found it interesting one time in one of the readings where on they illustrate this as a book, and on the cover of this book was a sacred geometric shape where what that told was and what that meant was that Source had actually taken that record and reviewed everything that was in that record and placed this stamp on the outside of the book. And I found that so fascinating to be able to, in that reading, that the cherubim were giving me this information that this soul actually knew that their record had so much light and love and beauty inside that Source was attracted to it and reviewed the whole record. And you might say, in a sense, put this geometric shape on the cover. I found that particularly beautiful. And so they tell us that this is their greatest of responsibilities, to keep the records pure, intact, and uncontaminated. And this is a great responsibility that they have. This is their, well, there's two bands of the cherubim. One band on the outer side is to work with these records, and on the other side of the cherubimic band, they are working with vibration. They are taking the vibration, sending it all through cosmos, bringing it back again to Source. And that's one of the reasons why the cherubim are working with these records, because this information is in vibration. And so we know, or we're told, that this is all in vibration. So this is why these final records are in their care, because they are they have a great understanding of vibration. This has been their job from the very beginning, to work with vibration. Now they say something that is interesting, I think. They say, no, just imagine this. Information is going up to a ladder, so to speak, through all the elements of creation until it ultimately resides in the universal records. And, you know, sometimes you hear stories about different things being in Akasha, and it might have a different flavor to it, might have a different interpretation. And one of the things that they say is that no record is ever wrong, but new information and experimentation could shed a different viewpoint on a record. So there might be a new opportunity that has come about, and they said it appears as a pause in the creative thrust, and then later continues. so that there might be results produced that were not considered before. So while a record would not be changed, the interpretation might be shaded in a slightly different light as new experiences are placed upon the first layer. You might consider this as a layer upon layer of experience building until a final result is finally reached. So if one reads from a lower record, there could be different assessments made to the information that's being gathered, which seems as one round then placed on another. So this is how perhaps somebody who has gotten information from a lower level might come to a different conclusion or a different shading of what is in the record. I wanted to discuss a little bit about the higher mind. I think it's important because we are discussing so much now as to how the higher mind guides us, how it brings information to us, how it can actually set up meetings between individuals. It helps guide us on our mission. And I wanted to discuss this because it's something, I mean, I think we all know what it means until you start trying to give it the definition. In other words, what is the higher mind actually? And so I went to the angels, asked for their, in the cherubim, asked for their interpretation of it, and I got interpretation of it. And I also went to some other places, people who had done writings about the same thing, got their interpretation. And I'm going to read or give you some information from different sources to kind of help us decide just what all of this is. I have a great deal of respect for the IM University, and so they have a wonderful library there where you could look up different ideas or concepts, and they had an article there on the monad, the soul and the personality. I kind of thought this was interesting, and I wanted to see, first of all, you know, what others said about this. And they start their information by saying, in the beginning, God created sons and daughters of God in the spiritual state. He created what is esoterically called monads, or individualized spiritual sparks of the Creator. And it was the monad which was first called the I Am Presence. That was our first core intelligence and first individualized identity. This divine spark, also called spirit, is our true identity. The monad, or spiritual spark, decided with its free choice that it wanted to experience a denser form of the material universe than it was living in. Each of our monads, with the power of its mind, created 12 souls. It is as though the monad put down 12 fingers of fire, and at the end of that finger is the 12 individualized souls. Each soul is a smaller and partial representation of its creator, the monad. The soul has also been referred to as the higher self, superconscious mind, higher mind. And what we have here so far is that God created infinite numbers of monads. And each monad then created 12 souls to experience a denser form of matter than previously experienced. Well, I went on and I read it, and I thought, gee, there must be something wrong with me, because I was having, it seemed so hard for me to wrap my understanding around it. Not that what they were saying I was disagreeing with, I just didn't feel like I understood it. It wasn't in terms that I could relate to in my three-dimensional world. And so of course, I had gone to the angels, the cherubim, to get their take on it. And they didn't disagree with what was in the library. It's just the way that they explained it. I sort of had a better sense of understanding. And so we're going to get into that. But I thought maybe perhaps this might be a good time to take a little break and remind all of you that if you want a reading from the Akashic Records for yourself, please call in with your question. We'll be glad to go to the cherubim, ask for your book, and look for the answer. And so for now, my friends, we're just going to take a little break on the half hour and be back with you a little later. Good afternoon, people. This is Carolyn Evers coming back, and hopefully you were able to listen to some of that information about the cruise, and if this is something that you think... Yes?
Hello, Carolyn?
Yes.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Julie from New York City.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, did you get any of that storm from Eduardo?
Yes, we had plenty of rain.
Yeah, we did too.
We finally got the sun today.
Good.
Thank you.
So, Julie, what kind of questions do we have from New York?
I guess I'm new to the show and this is my first time, and you're
welcome.
Thank you. And your talk was very interesting. So, I guess it's a very general question. What is my soul purpose?
I'm kind of laughing because you're saying that this is a general question, and I have to say, Julie, that it's probably one of the two most asked questions.
Right.
And so, let me see. You didn't put that in terms of mission. How did you put that?
What is my soul purpose?
Your soul purpose, right?
Right.
Many people tell us or will ask for mission. We get that a lot, and they want to know if their love interest is going to come into their life, their soulmate.
Yes.
So this is the most asked question. So, Julie, what we're going to do is we're going to actually, a part of my mind is going to go to the cherubim who are waiting for us. Takes a little bit of time for me to go into the meditative state, so if you just give me a moment.
Sure.
Because we're sitting here chatting. And they are already there, Julie. These cherubim, they're neither male nor female. They're androgynous, but they like to take on the appearance of the female because they relate to the role of the mother, taking care of her children, the wife taking care of her husband, the female in the nurturing role. And this is how they show themselves to me. They look tall. They
okay.
have a white garment on, sort of like flowing from the neck down.
Okay.
And around the neck is like this gold band. It's a wide gold band where the cloth kind of comes from that.
Okay.
And there is decoration on it. The one that has your book in her hand, she has long dark hair.
Okay.
And this beautiful angelic face. It's like curls in her hair. I don't see any jewelry, but she has your book in her hand, and she is showing it to me. And the cover of this book is, now this book represents all of your records as your soul went through all of the many journeys.
Okay.
And so it's a big book.
Many journeys.
Oh, yes, many, many journeys. Not only on this planet, but like so many souls who are on Earth right now, you have journeyed through many planets in many galaxies. You were known as a keeper of wisdom as you came down through the many experiences and the many planets that you came to. You came usually because there was a call placed out for you. This is true of the light workers who are on planet Earth right now. Archangel Michael placed a call for light workers, and his light workers came with him in this magnificent procession and helped create this planet along with him. And so you answered that same call, not just to Earth, but through all of the many dimensions where you have been. And it is because you have a special gift for love within your heart. The book, as I said, was brown, and it's a little bit darker brown, not a real light brown, but what this means is that you were created on the pink ray of love. I don't see any colors around that pink ray. Some pink rays will have a little bit of yellow or blue in it. Yours is definitely pink. When the Creator created you, there was an intent, there was a sound, and there was a color. And so what was implanted in your heart was this great desire to be of service to the Source through love. Now, many people who follow this ray of love are going to be happy in some sort of position where they might be a school teacher or a nurse. They're working with other people. They are loving them in such a way. They are giving them information, or they are helping them to heal, or it could be a healer. These are all the kinds of journeys that a person born on the pink ray would be happy with. And what they are showing me is it was not just the pink ray that you were created on, but I see this dynamic, and I have to say it is very dynamic, this white ray. And you were infused with this special light of God. It is His special language. And so you have a gift within your heart to express love, God's love, in a special manner. And this is why you were called to this planet. They're telling me, as so many others who are on this planet right now, that this is like one of your first incarnations here on this planet. Do you sometimes feel a little bit strange with the way people act sometimes, or you don't relate to some things here? Do you feel that way sometimes?
Yes, that's absolutely true, and I think I felt that way even as a child.
Yeah, you sort of scratch your head and you say, what in the world are they doing that for?
Yeah. I think I felt that way all of my life.
Yes, you can't relate to the negativity here.
No.
You can't relate to fear. You can't relate to somebody trying to control another person. Have you found that to be true?
That's true. That
yeah.
is correct.
Yeah, you're sort of, it's
I'm
like,
a free spirit. And
yes, I was. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say you are like this beautiful free spirit who does not wish to control anyone else, nor do you want anyone controlling you.
That's correct.
And
you hit the nail on the head.
Yes, and the reason for that is because your most recent experiences come from a place of such grand love that none of that went on there.
That's right.
Nobody tried to control another person. They were all very helpful to one another. They all accepted each other for who they were. And so here you are in a place where the energies are so different.
That's correct.
And so there are times, oh,
and it's, I think you're absolutely right. I do see and hear things, and I scratch my head and and just say they're going about this all wrong.
Yes, because you know better.
Yeah.
You know how they should be going on, and what I am feeling right now is this very deep sadness that you have in your heart every time you think of those buildings that were destroyed in New York at what we're calling 911.
If I tell you, I think I had a premonition of it 2 days prior because, as you said, I had tremendous sadness 2 days prior.
Yes.
And I just didn't know where this came from, and I just, my emotions, like, just took a hold of me, and I was crying continuously for hours. 2 days prior to the towers, and I actually saw the towers fall.
I am feeling that grief that you carried right now. This was a tremendous grief to you because you knew that it didn't have to happen.
That's right.
You knew that it wasn't intended to happen, didn't you?
Yes.
And you were grieving.
And it actually happened in front of me. I was not too far from where these planes were flying in. I happened to be in an adjacent building,
mm-hmm.
and I was watching all of this as this was going on, and I never felt so much fear in my life.
There is a pain. It's almost like a scarring, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, if you fell on your knee and you had a scab on it, would be a good description of what your soul has endured in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that you call in not this next Saturday, but the Saturday after, when I do the show with Caroline Allen, to have this removed.
Okay.
This pain that you are feeling, this is going to interfere with what you have to do.
Uh-huh.
You see, you're, how shall I say this? It's like you're reliving this every time you hear information on that destruction.
Yes.
Would you agree with this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting to the point where I can't read about it anymore or listen to it anymore.
You're grieving as if someone died. You're going through a grieving process.
Yes.
And you need to you need to be cleared of this.
Okay.
And I think you would have a very difficult time going on with your mission until this is cleared.
Mm-hmm.
So call in okay. 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let us get that cleared for you.
Okay.
You need a clear mind. Let me see. We can look in here. Why do you have to have a clear mind? I know it's because of what you're about to be doing. They're telling me rather than giving you The answer to your question right now is they want you to clear this and then give you the answer, because your mission is a very large mission. And in the state of mind that you're in right now, you might not emotionally be able to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that it is using your gift of love. Your mission is connected to the love force.
Okay.
And you're going to be working with what people here call ascension.
Okay.
And your work is needed, very much so. Like I said, you've been called to the planet to do this, but they feel it would be better to clear this grief, because you need to be in love. You need to use all of those abilities that you have towards love. You have to stop thinking in fear. You have to stop thinking of the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the angels are showing me, that your force needs to be, oh, and I see your heart opening up the way it should be. It is like this big, gorgeous lotus blossom in the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened is this other negativity that you are living in,
yes,
is strangling that in a sense.
Yes.
This, because you've got this deep grief.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you? Can you relate to that?
Yes, and I also believe, too, that as far as the service, I think I can relate to that. I think for all of my life, I think I've been there for many people, helping them mostly with health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically my parents. And
specifically
it's
your what?
It's totally consumed my life.
Your what? I didn't hear that. What's consumed
it,
your life?
Their illnesses have, at various points in my life, have been very consuming.
Well, so you've been working on the individual life wave, love wave, but you're going to be working on something that's going to be affecting groups. You're not that you're not going to be helping the individuals, but you're going to be moving to the next part of what you need to do, and that's with groups. But what they are saying, Julie, is that aspect of your heart and your soul needs to be healed first.
Okay.
So if you would be kind enough, dear, call in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And let Caroline work with this.
Okay. I would love to do that.
Yes, and bless you, dear. And if you want something more detailed, you can go to my website. There's information there, akashicreading.com.
Okay.
And you can sign up for a newsletter too.
Okay. And one more quick question.
A little louder, because I can't hear you.
One more quick question.
Oh, what is the question?
Will I find someone that I can relate to in this world?
Let me say this, Julie, and this is not coming from the angels. This is coming from, and I wanted to go into this because this is not just for you. This is for everybody who is listening out there.
Uh-huh.
Souls come. They make commitments with other souls sometimes. Could be a twin soul, what we call twin souls or soulmates, or it might not.
Okay.
But just because you haven't made that commitment before you came does not mean that you can't attract someone into your life that is going to make you happy. We all have the ability to manifest. You believe that, don't you?
Yes.
Have you manifested things in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did you go about manifesting things in your life?
Thinking about it really hard, putting a plan together, and just pursuing it.
It's not much different than attracting a love life.
Okay.
You might, I know this might not be the way that some people would think about it, but it's almost like merchandising yourself in the sense that if you like athletics and you want somebody in your life that's going to share your goals, well, you might get a membership in an athletic club.
Right, right.
And so don't think of this male person coming into your life as something any different than any other form of manifestation.
Okay.
It's all the same.
Okay.
Now, if you want more detail on that, we'd be glad to give you a detail. You can ask later, because that's kind of a little bit more personal than
sure.
than what we want to get in on here. But
right.
I think you know enough about manifestation that you could figure that out even without the briefing. You remind me of a very lovely lady.
Oh, thank you so much for your reading, and I truly appreciate all of this information. You're doing a great service to people.
Oh, thank you, dear. Don't forget, call in 2 weeks.
I will.
We'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So before Julie called, and we don't have very much time here. We only have about 5 minutes. I'll give you a little bit more information about the higher mind that I had gotten from the records. And I had read you one description of that. And so the cherubim tell us this, that all the souls were sent forth, and there was organization brought to them as two groups. And that, in a sense, they were grouped according to their duties and missions that were implanted into the soul by Source when they were created. And I was talking to Julie about this, how there was this intent by the Creator. There was light. There was this gorgeous, beautiful sound, and these beautiful colors that... This was the platform that souls were created. And when all this was going on, this mission or these different colors that a soul was created upon gave the person this impetus, this desire to serve in a certain manner. And so these different groups had leaders. And the cherubim say that it was very similar to organization that's used in your military. And so they gave an example of Archangel Michael, because Archangel Michael's here working with us, very close to us, and that was a good example. And he said, or the angels say, that this is the most well-known group on your planet because the light workers here are led by Archangel Michael as an example. And so that within this group of Archangel Michael's light workers, they have a general mission, but there are also subsections of duties, and they have leaders within that group. So on Earth, we have people who are embodied, and you might call them the commanders. And they're working here on Earth to further Archangel Michael's objectives. And so then it goes on and talks about when we trace back to our full authority, they talk about the monad. And this was a vast soul and its partners who had a similar mission within the overall mission undertaken by the commander. And so the monad cannot come down to the dense physical where we are. It's much higher up in other dimensions. And so as we came down to each lower dimension, these groups divided. And so each group holds a little bit less than the total overall ability that's on the higher groups. So we have one thing, we've got to go soon. I just wanted to get this real quick. I wanted to finish this up. The higher mind, as we're calling it, is saying it is a gateway. It's not so much that it's an entity of itself, but this is the gateway to all of the information that we've ever accumulated through experience. And if you place your call correctly in the correct modality, we're going to have access to all that information that we have ever accumulated. And so next week, we're going to talk about what is the correct modality. How do we get to this gateway? How do we access the information that comes through this gateway? And this is going to be one of the topics that we're going to be talking about next week. So, my dear friends of the light, this is Carolyn Evers signing out. Please connect with us and touch us. Share our time next Sunday where we are here to bring more information from the Universal Records. So signing out, sending you my love and my blessings. And each one of you, enjoy your journey. Play fairly with each other. Love each other. And tell those that you love them. Good night.